Pick up a Bible and find page 1066. There you go. 1066 and John chapter 4. The Bible says that all we need to know about God and all that God wants us to know is found in the Bible. And so that's why I'm going to spend the next while looking at this passage together with you and listening to what God is saying to us. And I'm going to pray for God's help as we do that. Let me pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. You speak to us in your word, that we might know what you want us to know, and ultimately that we might know you. And so we pray for you to help us as we listen now in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever look at life, maybe your life, and think, like, what's the story? What is really going on here? What's the point of all of this? We're told that we are free, if we get someone special, that I'm really loved by them. Or we get that respect that we yearn, maybe from that popular group at school to be included or to be recognized by those who have power at work. Or we think, oh, if I get more money, then I can buy all the things I want, or I can retire early. If I get a life where I can just have as much fun as I want, well, then I'll create life that is really life. Let me ask you, what do you think, if you got it, would give you the life that you want? What do you think, if you got it, would give you the life you want? We're told we're free, free to create this life. And so if it's not happening, well, what do? We're supposed to try harder or to believe more. But don't we find that it's so hard to create this perfect life? Why is that? And why is it that when we get that thing that we are longing for, we finally get it, it doesn't give us the satisfaction that we think it will? That the grade, the girl, the goal that we score. Maybe in the moment there's real happiness, but it doesn't last. And actually what it does is it leaves you thirsty. Thirsty for more. And wondering, is this it? What's the story? Well, this morning we're going to look at this encounter recorded in John's account of Jesus' life. And we're going to see Jesus meet a woman. And it seems that he really gets her. He understands her personal story. And more than that, he claims to be able to offer her life. Life that is truly life. Here's the first thing we're going to look at. The gift of life. We join Jesus and his disciples journeying along. And it's been a long old road, and they are tired. 3 days they've been traveling from Jerusalem to Galilee, northwards, and they get to Samaria, and they get to Jacob's well, and, well, Jesus, he's just exhausted. And so he sits down, he flops down. The disciples, they're pretty hungry, so they head off to the local town, Sychar, to see if they can find a Tesco to get some food. And it is the middle of the day. We're told in the passage that it's the sixth hour, which on our clocks would be midday. It is hot. It is midday. And as Jesus sits there, well, along comes a woman with her water jar. And she comes up to the well. And as Jesus watches this, it must have seemed very weird. Because normally, the locals would have come to draw water from the well in the cool of the day. They would have come together to give themselves protection. But here is this woman coming in the heat and alone. Now later we learn why. And actually you can see it in verse 18 of your passage. We'll look at it more in detail in a bit. But this woman has had five husbands. In fact, the man she's with at the moment isn't her husband. She's on to the sixth. Why? We're not really told. Is it that she has been unfaithful, unfaithful, unfaithful? Is it that she's been unfortunate? Is it a mixture of both? We don't know, but what is possible to see is that she's unwelcome. She's unwelcome at the book club back in the local town with the other women. And that's why she comes in the heat alone. She's an outcast. Just look at what Jesus does. Verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" He asks her for a drink from her cup. And she's shocked. Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews don't associate with Samaritans." You see, in that culture, Jews like Jesus don't associate with Samaritans like this woman. They would have been seen by the Jews as religious and racial mudbloods. And they wouldn't associate, let alone eat and drink. And yet Jesus says, "Can I have a drink from your cup?" And Jesus cuts through the racial, the social, the gender barriers of the day. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Jesus says, if you'd understood what I offer and who I am, you'd associate yourself with me. You'd ask me for a drink. Because you see, the claim of Christianity, the evidence that John has put into his gospel to persuade us of, is this fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And that he came to earth, the maker of life, so that he could offer living water, so that he could give the gift of life. Just notice this. He said, if you knew the gift of God, it's a gift what Jesus offers. So not something that we can create, not something that is earned. Other religions say, other religions want something from us if we're to get the reward. Jesus wants to give us something. And because it's a gift, it's for anyone. Even this outcast Samaritan woman, even you, even me. She doesn't get it, does she? So verse 11, "Sir," the woman said, "you've nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and the flocks and herds?" Where's your bucket? Do you think you're greater than Jacob? So Jesus says it again, clearer this time. Verse 13, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Do you want life? Do you want to never thirst? Do you want eternal life? "Ask me," Jesus said. What does that mean? What is this gift that Jesus is offering? Well, it doesn't mean if we follow Jesus that we'll never experience hardship in this life. It doesn't mean we'll get all that we want, the success or the health or the family or the 24/7 fun. What he is offering is a return to the relationship that we are made for, to the life that we are made for, to the God we are made for. And what we find, what he offers, is that this God will never let us down. That when we thirst, he is enough, always. And this gift is a promise of eternal life, of a future where no one will ever thirst again. That's what we long for, isn't it? This kind of life, where we never thirst. Well, that's what Jesus was offering the woman. Jesus is still offering that gift today. See, the evidence found in the Gospels show that Jesus rose from the dead, that he is alive today. And he's still saying, if you come to me, if you want life, we can ask him. Now, maybe you're here this morning, you're unconvinced, you're not even sure there is a God. You think, I mean, who is this person, Jesus? Was he really real? Can he really offer this kind of stuff? Well, we love helping people here to consider these things for themselves, to work these things out for yourself. And if you do have those kind of questions, we'd love to help you with them. One way to do that is to pick up a copy of John's Gospel. It's one of the accounts, the historical accounts of Jesus' life that you find in the Bible. And there's some on a table in the foyer as you leave. Pick it up, read it for yourself. See what you make of Jesus and the claims that he makes. Or maybe actually for you, coming along to a course would be a better thing. And these were on the seats as you came in, the Life Explored course. It's a brilliant course, 6 weeks, where together we look at the life that Jesus offers and we consider, is this really true? And what does it mean for us? So have a think about coming along to Life Explored starting this Tuesday evening. And you can have a look at the details on your sheet. The gift of life. But why do we need Jesus? Why can't we just create our own life? Why did this woman need Jesus? Well, it's because when we try to create our own life, we reject the source of life itself, the giver of life, himself. And here's the second thing we're going to see, the giver of life. I don't know, as you listened to the passage being read, when you got to verse 16, did you think it was a bit of a gear change? So there's all this talk about water and living water, and then Jesus says, he told her, go call your husband and come back. Now, Jesus isn't actually changing the subject here. What he's doing is he is exposing what this woman has been thirsting after for life. Look at how it goes on. Verse 16, he said, go call your husband and come back. 17, I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said, is quite true. I mean, imagine how uncomfortable she must have felt at that moment. That Jesus knew her. He knew her personal story. It's as if he could see right through her. You ever had that experience? That uncomfortable experience when someone knows what is really going on? When I was fairly young, I stole some money off my mother. I popped across the road to the local shop and I bought myself an ice lolly. Hid behind a bush in the front garden. Enjoyed the lolly. Stashed the evidence. And then went back towards the house. And the first thing that was said to me was, have you eaten an ice lolly? And I was like, how do they know? And it was just really uncomfortable, that reality of knowing that they knew exactly what was going on. Turns out that it was all over my face and all over my tongue. And so it really wasn't that difficult to work it out. But I was really grateful, actually, in hindsight, that I was exposed, because what it did was it made me see what I had done wrong. It's so awkward, this moment where Jesus, who has never met her before, knows her inside out. And we shouldn't be surprised if Jesus is God. Of course he knows her inside out. He knows you inside out. He knows me inside out. But he's not just trying to make her uncomfortable. He wants to show her where she'd gone wrong. where she was seeking life, not in the giver of life, God, not in the one relationship she was made for, a relationship with God, but in human relationships. And maybe she thought, oh, if I just find Mr. Right, that means all my deepest longings will be satisfied. But what she found? Well, actually emptiness. She's still thirsting, and yet she keeps going back for more. Five husbands, and the sixth man? Well, she's on to him now. I wonder if it was us that met Jesus at the well. What would he expose about where we seek life? Because you see, we do the same. We think, oh, more money or holidays or success or sex or children or time gaming or houses or more likes and views on social media. They're the things that are really going to fulfill me and satisfy me. And instead of enjoying all those good gifts from God, we replace God with them. We reject him. It's as if we're saying to God, God, you know, you're not life. I don't want you or need you. The Bible says that's why our world is in such a mess, because we live in this world ignoring the Creator, think we know better. It's that that leads to the pain and the fighting and the death and the thirst. Like that kid's talk, we've turned from the source of living water and are drinking from broken wells. And sadly, if we carry on like that, Jesus says this elsewhere, we'll be given what we've chosen. Existence with God without all his goodness forever. Jesus says it's hell. But Jesus knows us. He loves us. And he offers us life with God again. It's why he came. Yes, to show us our need, but also to show us that he alone is the giver of life, the one who we are made for a relationship with. Made for a relationship with him, the giver of life. Or you could put it in different language, made to worship. And actually, that's what the rest of the passage is talking about. Verse 19 to 26, about this relationship, this worship. Now, we don't have time to look at the detail, but just notice this. There's a phrase that's repeated. A time is coming. You'll see it in verse 21. And then in verse 23, yet a time is coming and has now come when the worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. A time is coming. It's a phrase in John's gospel that John uses to talk about what Jesus has come to do. The time when he is going to do the main thing he came to do. And what is that? It's to restore us back to life with God again. It's to enable us to worship in spirit, given spiritual life by Jesus. In truth, through believing in the truth given by Jesus. Because we have a big problem. Because until our rejection of God is dealt with, we cannot approach God in worship. We cannot have a relationship with God. And what did Jesus do? What happened at this time that was coming? Well, at the end of John's gospel, John records Jesus dying. And as he dies, Jesus said this, I thirst. How can the source of all life, the giver of life, thirst? It's because at that moment, he was giving his life to pay for our rejection of God. He was thirsty so that we never have to be again. And so the giver of life can offer the woman, me, and you the gift of life. I want to tell you just about two people as I finish. I've changed their names for GDPR reasons. The first one's Rick. Rick, a longtime friend, in his late 20s, he decided he was going to give up his job, take his life savings, move to New Zealand, and train to be a helicopter pilot. And I was speaking to him 6 months later, he was still over there, and he said, Ed, you know, I don't think I want to be a helicopter pilot. And what he had found was that it just didn't fill him in the way that he thought it would. And over the years, what I've seen is him living in different countries, working in a multitude of jobs, different girlfriends, house renovations, lavish holidays, different cars. And he is still thirsty today. And sadly, he will not come to Jesus, even to look at this offer of life. Can I ask you, if that's you today, consider returning to Jesus. The life you were made for, ask him, and he will give you living water. Now, it might be that you are a follower of Jesus, you are a Christian already, and you still are a little bit thirsty sometimes. Well, realize that actually the solution to that isn't less Jesus and more other stuff. Actually, it is a closer walk with Jesus. It's a deeper dependence on him, a greater wonder at him. And that puts all those other things in their right place. Don't be like Rick. How about Kate? Kate has lived many years and has had a difficult life. At this stage, there's no children, there's no husband. She lost her mother in her late teens. She lost her father in her late 20s. She had been married, but they had the harrowing experience of not being able to have children. And in time, her husband went off with someone else instead. And she had grown up surrounded by friends and family with their own families. And yet at this stage in her life, she says she has a deep joy. Her words, I have a living hope because I found Jesus. She says he's even able to look back at all the grief and thank God because it gave her the jolt she needed. It exposed her, if you like, to show her that those things weren't where she should place her hope, that only Jesus could quench the thirst. What's the story? Why can't we create the life we want? Well, it's because we've tried to live life in the world while ignoring the giver of life. But he loves us. And he offers us again the gift of life. This is what he says. He says, return to me. He says, ask me for living water. He says, whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. He says, indeed, the water I give will become a spring welling up to eternal life. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Let me pray. Our great God, we thank you for the life that we enjoy. You are the source of all life. We pray that you would help us to recognize that much of the time we have ignored you or tried to live life our own way. We thank you that you sent Jesus to restore us to true life, to the relationship that we were made for. Father, we pray particularly for any here this morning who are not sure about where they stand with you or even what they believe. We pray that you would help them. Help them to investigate and to see this wonderful offer that Jesus gives us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.